And Young swings the first pitch. That one's blasted out to left center. Soderstrom back. He looks. It's out of here. Welcome back to the big leagues. Josh Young, a solo home run, and the Rangers strike first. They lead 1-0.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Very easy to be romantic about a guy who goes down to the minors and then comes right back up and all of a sudden, first game back, does some damage. It is Diamond Cavs on 105.3 The Fan. Josh Young. Not a bad first game back for him.
Made me feel dumb. I was chuckling to myself, rolling my eyes that he got called up. For what? He hasn't fixed anything. He's hitting 200.
242.
What are you doing? The offense is starting to click. What are you bringing Josh Young back for? Bam, in my face.
Yeah, it's it's funny. This is a funny sport. You go and all of a sudden you make one little tweak, and the tweak is not even to maybe something in your swing. It's just to patience. And it's just to not chasing. And one of the stats teams love to use now is chase rate as a hitter. You know what, or as a pitcher too. Like what percentage of your pitches do you get guys to chase on? And from a hitter's perspective, you know, what percentage of pitches that are out of the zone are you chasing at?
Yeah, I think that stat is literally named after Josh Young.
It's called the young stat.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that he swings at that. His whole thing is just everything up was so bad for him. And he laid off that stuff last night.
He did. So a nice little night for him. 2-for-3 with the home run and RBI. He did have a walk. His average at 242, which is obviously still way lower than where he would want it to be. But on this team, it's actually not that terrible.
Hmm.
You had Josh Smith ahead of him and Seager obviously ahead of him. Carter when he's out there and he's starting ahead of him. But there's not a ton of guys. But the Rangers do get the 7-2 victory. This is a sad step because they got to win the next two games of the series if they want to win the season series over the A's.
Ugh.
The A's are up 3-2 in the season series.
It's not your night.
And no, it's not. Despite the Rangers having a 15-2 victory early on in the year, I mean, the A's did take 3 of 4 at the end of April, early May. So they got to win the next two games to win this season series against a team that started 22-20. And is since 22-40.
Mm. I saw some of the pitching numbers yesterday. Their pitching is bad. It was very bad with some of the stats.
It's not your night.
Yeah, and they they don't usually sign guys. They signed Severino in the offseason. They gave him like $70 million. That's not an A's move. The A's don't usually do that. They don't usually sign veterans to kind of higher price deals. We'll see what this team is going to do as they move forward. They've got a lot of guys that are going to be on that rookie of the year. Kind of finalist list, and they're going to get some money when they move to Vegas, if they ever actually do move to Vegas. What a crock this organization is. You know, they had the ceremonial ribbon cutting, first ceremonial shovel in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They had two bulldozers, payloader, whatever the hell they're called.
Payload.
Those big yellow things that the kids use. Tonka trucks.
Uh-huh.
In the background. You know they rented those? They're not even actually for the dig, for the building. They rented them for the day.
No. Well, for the look?
For the look.
The optics?
The look. Hey, we got shovels in the ground. Oh. No, you don't. You don't even have any money.
How'd you find that out? You got some... Vegas Joe?
It was reported. No, it was reported like by MLB media.
Who ran
A's
that down?
Media.
Who was like, I don't think those are real. I bet they rented those. Like, who was like, what intrepid reporter was like, they have a deep throat about the whole like excavator situation?
Buster Olney says, do not expect the Texas Rangers to be in on Tarik Skubal. He says...
Tarik Skubal available?
They've already got him.
He's going to be a free agent, right? His free agency is up. After next year, he becomes a free agent. And Buster says he is going to get about $400 million. And he says the question is whether it comes from the Mets, Dodgers, or Yankees. Basically, that's where he's going.
Shocker.
Now, this is no surprise. But the other thing is, like, you know, who knows if the Rangers would even open the checkbooks up again... mean, they did a. I mean, they spent $1 billion on DeGrom, Seager, and Simeon.
Yeah, as CY told G-Bag yesterday, in addition to saying we don't really see outside help, it may have to be getting the expected output and production from our own guys. He also said, look, we've had the highest payroll in team history over the last three seasons, so we have been spending.
They have been spending. Yes, they do have a very high payroll. Whether they continue to go beyond that and go into the luxury tax even more,
that's
a completely different discussion, because if they do get Scooble, they are absolutely into the luxury tax. If he does go to one of those three teams, and the problem is going to be that is going to be right before the CBA ends and right before these owners are going to lock these players out, because there is no chance that they're going to see if he goes to one of those three teams and he gets a mega deal like that, you're going to have 20 teams saying, listen, we're out, salary cap or nothing. Which I could easily say the baseball salaries have not gone up the way the other sports have. I mean, A-Rod's $250 million contract that he got 25 years ago is still like probably, I would guess, top 20 in the league today.
Wow.
As a raw value, for sure.
Right?
Because it was the 10 years, but it is 25.
$25 million is not high. It's not high. But as a raw value, like, you know, that's not that much, you know? And they're not going up. But I think the two things, one of me,
I won't even play the lotto for that.
Right.
And it's like at 280. I'm like, that's not worth my time.
But it's also like, you know, I think that part of it is the luxury tax really has done a good job of keeping things kind of capped. And the Dodgers don't mind going over it, and the Mets don't mind going over it. The Yankees don't seem to mind going over it, but everybody else is like, we're not going near that.
$25 million is tied for 36th in average contract value. Jose Altuve, Nathan Eovaldi, Sonny Gray, and like a million other people.
Yeah. But $252 million.
Right, because it was the 10-year deal.
Is still high. And that's just like, all right, this is 25 years ago, man. Think of where NFL salaries were 25 years ago.
Yep. NBA.
NBA.
NBA is the most sickening one. The guys
really
are getting 70 a year.
Yeah, it
a year. Really,
a year. $70 million a year.
To play 36 games.
Yep.
Yep. So I don't know if you, MLB is investigating this. Did you see what happened between one of the Braves coaches and Jazz Chisholm over the weekend? And this has been going on throughout the sport. And I don't know how he's figuring this out, and other players are figuring this out, but Jazz was on second base, and he was taking his lead. He would do like kind of like a jumping jack.
And I saw him rubbing his chest down.
Okay, and he would do that too, right? But there was a couple things he was, so kind of like a jumping jack. And the Braves got all upset because of, hey, you're stealing signs, okay? Which you police yourself on that one, you drill him the next time up. And that's what the Braves coach was kind of motioning. He kept pointing at his head, and Jazz kept pointing at his head. And they started jawing from third base to the dugout. And they're going to investigate this, and they are doing an investigation. But how the hell are they picking up on signs? They don't give signs anymore. So is he able to hear it? Is it so loud, the earpiece of the guys here so loud that he could hear it?
Maybe that's what the Braves coach was pointing to, the earpiece.
Maybe. 50 feet away? Is that what he's able to do, or is he giving away, you know, location or what? But this is not going to end well for the Braves coach, because if you start pointing at a guy's head.
Well, that's what happened. So Chisholm's on third. This is Diamond Cavs, by the way, on the home of the Rangers. Nick Eatman from Oxnard at 9:20 to recap the Cowboys presser. Then K&C from Cali as well at 9:40. The Braves coach, who the Rangers have coming up after the A's, he's pointing to his head. And Jazz is like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, you're going to drill me in the head? Well, of course, baseball is launching an investigation at the coach, and I thought of RJ Choppy. It was brilliant. It's a great excuse. You know what he said? He said, you better think before you talk like that. He wasn't saying we're going to drill you.
Oh, he's doing the meme.
Be smarter. Be smart. I think that's a perfect out.
That's a good one, man.
Just be smart.
That's a real...
Think.
Real good one.
Now we're going to destroy your temple.
This, by the way, this is a good...
Which, you know, he was saying we're going to destroy your temple.
I'm sure. Yeah. This is another good example to point to of what had come up the other day, where we were like, yeah, there's a lot of people in baseball who hate Jazz Chisholm. Like, this right here. Like, this is why people can't stand him.
Yep.
Oh, he's an antagonist. I mean, he really is.
Bobby, what was that trade before I forget that you were getting a little worked up over?
So Jeff Passan had done a reset. We talked about this about a month ago. He had the top 50 trade deadline candidates, and he had put percentages next to all of them, like how likely it is that they get traded, and then also talked about who would be the best fits. And so a lot of this was recycled. It's a lot of the same guys who he had initially said would be connected to Texas, but there was one that was new that they were connected to that he said was one of the best fits for. Marcell Ozuna.
Hey, you brought him up a lot.
I've wanted him. That's the guy that I think if you were to drop him into the lineup, I would take the chance on him. He's got an expiring deal. Go ahead, roll the dice. Now, here's the problem. He's been a monster in previous seasons. His last 46 games, we're talking about basically 2 months here, he is hitting 194. His OPS is 590,
he fits right in.
It's essentially 15 points below what Jonah Heim has been this season. That's what he's done over the last 2 months. But, I mean, Ozuna, you're talking about a guy who that's 40 homer pop. Yeah. That's a guy who'll get on base. He'll walk. I mean, you're talking about before that two-month stretch, his OPS was over 900. Like, he was hitting well still. And so as an expiring deal, I would definitely take a gamble on that. And he says there is a 70% chance that Ozuna gets traded at the deadline and lists Texas as one of the contenders who could snatch him up.
Diamond Cavs here at 105 through the Fan. Before we get to, I'm going to have you guys see if you can guess the top jersey sales so far in Major League Baseball. Did you see the Ronald Acuna throw from the weekend?
I did.
This thing was stupid. Aiden's going to put this up on the fan cam. He catches the ball. There's a runner on second base. He catches the ball.
Play the clip.
In deep right field. And this throw is so stupid. Again, fan cam, here's the audio of it, too.
High and deep to right. Over toward the line. Acuna's got it. Tagging from second is Bibas. Whoa! They got him! Are you kidding me? Frenchie, I'm stunned.
When we come back, we'll dig into this. This was unbelievable.
That's Braves TV with the call. He caught the ball at the corner of the warning track in right field, deep right field. The guy's on second. He's tagging to third. His back is completely to him. He is totally flat foot. He's got no momentum. He turns and just uncorks this massive heave to third base. The guy didn't slide. The guy didn't even think that he would get out. He thought there was no chance this guy's going to get me. He's trotting to third, and they get him. I mean, this was a perfect heave, perfect throw, and they get the guy at third base. Unbelievable.
This is the Mookie Betts. You remember Mookie Betts throughout Ketel Marte going to third like 5 years ago? Same spot, same throw. Like, this is like identical.
Oh, no. Here comes the ice bucket challenge.
Hey, little bit of a hater alert. I didn't watch it and say, wow. I didn't react in the moment. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because Acuna is so casual. Yeah. Maybe it's because the runner. Atolo got in my head. He's like, Adolis Garcia don't make these types of throws, and the whole sport isn't going crazy about this. I just feel like there's been other throws. Maybe it's the velocity that wasn't there on it. It's obviously impressive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting it up there of the greatest throws of all time that I've ever seen. Maybe it's the runner. Going full speed. I don't know.
The velocity isn't necessarily there.
It's just soaring.
It had the energy to travel. Right, the ball had the energy behind it.
What does that mean, Bill Nye?
It's got the spin is creating the energy to be able to travel that far. Yeah. It's not necessarily like 107 miles an hour.
I love the look of the Yankee on the velo. The Yankee coach is like shocked.
Yeah,
he's stunned. Like, how did that happen? How did that take place? You guys putting it up as a top three throw you've ever seen?
I'm going to play you the Betts throw.
Vlad Guerrero.
I'll play you the Betts throw while I talk about it. So this was Mookie. Back in 2020. To me, like, this is more impressive because I know it's Ketel Marte and he's hauling ass and he just, like, on a rope hits him. And that's not even, like, he didn't catch it in the air and throw. This was, like, something that...
But that was closer distance. Acuna was in the corner.
Yeah. No, he's in foul territory. That's 300-foot throw. Yeah. Like, it was measured at 304, I think, is what it was measured at.
There's an Ichiro throw that comes to mind. Adolis does this all the time. There's a handful of guys in the league currently that have great arms. Clemente has got a throw for the right field corner. There's a lot of them.
Diamond Cavs here on your home of the Rangers. Game two tonight. It's a DeGrom day. 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Been waiting for this. Nick Eatman, Live from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California. Is Micah going to step on the field today? And what did Nick think? Or was it just another regular Cowboys press conference? Eatman from Cali on the home of the Cowboys next.
Frankly, should we have waited on Diggs and Steele? Oh, you brought him up. I did.
You sure you want to start today, Nick Eatman? You're officially on the books for next week. This. You want to start it right now?
Let's go. Let's do this.
Our boy, the great
Thanks, Jerry.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here in the red zone on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. We'll have K&C from Cali at 9:40. What did you think of all that yesterday?
It was wild. I mean, it was what we – I mean, I wouldn't say I expect that, but I should, because that's kind of the way this thing goes. And you know, Jerry's making it very clear, like, he doesn't really care what you think, and not just you, just anyone. He just doesn't care, and he's going to let you know that. And so he let us all know that in a major way.
What were your top two, like, wow moments?
Well, just, you know, the like rubber glove flipping the bird moment, you know, which created an unbelievable meme. I thought that was, you know, the whole like Landman stuff, that like how that really started. It was kind of funny because, you know, Tim asked that question. And it was kind of like, I'm gonna set this up here, but I'm really asking you about why you guys haven't won in the last 29 years.
Yeah, the softener. Yeah.
Right, right. Just the whole Trayvon Diggs part, more than anything. I thought that. I mean, of course, Micah dominated everything, the Micah stuff, but the Trayvon part I thought was really kind of interesting there as well. And I said this last night, we did a podcast. I said, it's funny how 7-Eleven, like, they should have a store or something, because everything is connected, you know, because the way they didn't handle things, I think, in their mind with Trayvon is why they're like, all right, we're not going down this road again if we do a deal with Micah or anyone else. Like, these, you know, leadership and accountability and things are going to be all on the table here. So I that's the way I kind of took it.
What do you think is the Micah holdup?
I really don't know. I mean, I would think, I mean, 40.1 should get it done, right? I would think that's what they want to do. I think that's what Micah would want to do, and maybe that's the hold up there, that they don't feel like he should be the highest paid player. You know, I mean, we've seen this before, right? With Jefferson got a deal, and you know, Diggs didn't necessarily go over that.
Lamb.
Yeah, right. Diggs certainly didn't. Lamb either. But yeah, CD didn't go over that. And so, but you know, definitely got close. And it's all about how they structure it. He could be the highest paid and guaranteed money up front in the first 3 years, or all this kind of different things. I'd be speculating if I was like, this is exactly the holdup. But I would imagine Micah wants to be the highest paid non-defensive player.
Nick Eatman from Oxnard here on Sean and RJ. The number one word that jumped out to me yesterday was leadership, and you already referenced it. What is Micah not showing them? What else do they need to see from a leadership standpoint in order to go ahead and pay him? Because he did show up. He got some reps. Bobby was right there on the voluntary, non-voluntary, whatever, the minicamp, OTA. So he has kind of been a good soldier on that front. He's in Oxnard right now. What is he not giving them in that leadership category still?
I can't give you that answer because I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the leadership part of it. I think leadership is one of those words. It's like chemistry, you know, when you know what this team has and accountability. A lot of these things you just can't really prove. And to me, I look at it differently. I want the guy to go out there, just get to the quarterback, just make the plays. You know what I mean? And what kind of lead, you know, be a leader that way. 2 years ago, Dante Fowler, what has he ever done? Well, he comes in here and he gets 5 sacks. Sam Williams gets, I think, 4.5 sacks. They're leading by example of what Micah's doing. Last year, Carl Lawson comes off the street, gets 5 sacks. They're leading. I think Micah's leading in a way that we don't necessarily think about. Just go get the quarterback. Just go make a play. Don't do anything, you know, terrible here in the locker room, and he's not that kind of guy, but I think I don't think you have to sit there and like Ray Lewis and ask where my dog's at and all that kind of stuff and be a leader. I think you can be a leader in your own way.
Nick, do you think that Brian Schottenheimer or any of the Joneses have to go to Terrence Steele today, Dak Prescott, Micah, and patch up a little bit? Because what he said to me about Steele in particular, I get he's mad at Diggs. A lot of people are frustrated with Diggs. But, man, I thought that was unnecessarily over the line. And if I'm Terrence Steele walking out there to practice, I'm feeling like everyone's looking at me with my bosses just saying I didn't deserve my deal. Is there any carryover? Because Jerry's done this in the past, right? We've had Zeke, CD, Dak got a little contentious. Is this a bunch of nothing?
Well, I think the difference of what you – I didn't even think of it that way until the way you just said it, because – those guys were in a contract. Hold on. I did it with Zach Martin, too. I mean, like, he did it with everybody. And that he kind of plays that game through the media. Maybe that's what he's doing. Yeah. But after they get the deal and they're here, you know, Terrence Steele, like, you wouldn't. Now, I mean, Terrence hasn't done anything to be dragged into this. I mean, you know, obviously, Diggs, you know, didn't work out. But I don't even think that's what he's choosing to do. He wants to do this. If it's that important to work out in Miami and lose that much money for him, so be it. I mean, but for Terrence, I honestly believe, and I'm not trying to just overly defend Jerry, but I just think he looks at it differently. Like, you know, some of these things work out, some of it didn't. And is he wrong? I mean, has that worked out?
No, he's not wrong, but
I get it.
My problem is CD and Mike are in separate categories. You know, then Jalen Smith and Terrence Steele. Like, we know that Micah Parsons is probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Probably. You know, like, there's no questions. Like, I even understand the Dak questions. Like, we've talked about that for his whole career. But with Lamb and Micah, there's no questions.
But I think a question that has to be brought up, and there's no way that Jerry and Steven and Will McClay and Brian Schottenheimer don't think about the fact that in the last 3 or 4 years, every time they've done a deal, who has actually earned their money? I think you could say CD last year, the way he played, especially at the end of the year. He had a kind of a slow start, but he played well. I think he made the Pro Bowl, and he did a really nice job. The other extensions, Diggs, Steele, Donovan Wilson, Dak, for whatever the reason, some of it injuries, some of it just not playing as well.
Yeah.
They haven't lived up to that. So that's a big issue that the Cowboys have had. And it's taken it all the way back to the Terrence Newman, Marion Barber, and
Tyrone Crawford.
Right. A lot of times you give these guys the money, they haven't done as well on the second part. I mean, Zach Martin and Tyron Smith, they did it every year, you know, for the most part. They lived up to it, but I think that is a problem around here, is that the guys in that second or third contract, they're not meeting those expectations.
Nick, what percentage of the players, like, actually are insulted by these comments, or versus just, hey, this is just what happens here? If you've been here long enough, this is what goes on here. You got to deal with it.
Yeah, I would think for the most part that they understand that, you know, but they all, I mean, some of them probably follow the JJ Watts of the world, you know, and they try to escalate these things. I put a percentage on it. I would say probably like 10% of them probably are offended by the maybe 20 or 30 of like, yeah, man, that's messed up, whatever. All right, what do they have for breakfast? You know, and then and then the rest is kind of like, hey, it is what it is. I ain't worried about that because I, you know, that doesn't affect me. And, you know, there's a lot of, we use the word a lot of wham, WAM. What about me? That it happens a lot, you know, in our world with people that we work with. Everyone's worried. That's cool. How does it affect me? And there's probably a lot of players, you know, getting ready to be on the practice field today. They're like, that doesn't affect me. I just want to get that next contract. I hope he's talking about me one day with a new contract.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com from Oxnard here on The Fan. So what are they actually doing on the field today? And do you think that Micah Parsons will be out there?
That is the biggest question of all. And is where is Micah during the, yeah, like, where's Waldo? But where's Micah when they are practicing? Because, see, that's that's we haven't really had a lot of hold-in situations at training camp. I've seen some in the offseason, but not really at training camp. So that's what I'm curious to see is where is he standing when the team is practicing? If he's not practicing, where is he? Is he right there? Because that would be nice with a new defense and just hearing the calls terminology. Is he right there talking to some of the players? That's what I would like to see. Is he back playing video games or doing whatever? I don't know how productive that would be. So, but well, you know, and as to what they are doing, I think it'll be, you know, sort of walk through type things. Definitely won't have pads on, shells maybe, but it'll be glorified walkthroughs, and until they kind of ramp this thing up.
All right, Nick. So since you're into answering percentage questions today, all right. So he had a lot to say about Micah. He had a lot to say about Trayvon Diggs. What percentage of what you think was said about Micah yesterday was bluster or negotiation tactics versus legitimate criticism versus what was bluster and legitimate criticism of Diggs?
Oh, yeah. Diggs, I would say, I mean, I would say 80. I would say with Diggs about 60%, like, for, you know, that was like a real thing. Well, because there's no negotiation really going on with Diggs, right? I mean, like, he's not trying to get a new deal, and it just is what it is. I think that's a harder question to answer, but I just think that they're married to each other. I think that it's easy to talk about the Diggs situation because really what he's saying is he's talking about Micah and why they are trying to get this and why what some of the holdups are, and they're using this as a prime example of why leadership matters so much and why they want to make sure they have everything figured out before they, you know, they get down this road.
Is it cold there, Nick, at the danger of upsetting our DFW audience?
Yeah. I you know, I have a deal about that. You don't talk about it being cold to anyone other than people here, because you know they don't care back in Dallas. You know? No, it has been a little bit cool, but it's fun. I'm ready for you guys to be here.
You can tell I'm ready.
These guys have it down though. They're ready to go. They're all right. Corey's here. Kevin's here. They're ready to roll this thing.
Well, look, you just set a new YouTube 9:20 a.m. off season record for tune in.
Look at that, Nick.
So the number is not usually that high. And you can tell I'm ready because I hogged the entire interview, but cannot wait to hear and see what happens today.
We can thank Jerry on that.
Yeah. We can thank Jerry. Thank you, brother. Great to have you back.
See you guys.
We'll do it again Thursday. Brian Broaddus will join us tomorrow. Adam Schefter will join us tomorrow as well. Let's go back out to Cali and crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece next. Woo! Back out to California in Oxnard here on the home of the Cowboys with Sean and RJ. It is the KNC Masterpiece. I see that Corey Majors is currently talking. So Kevin Hagelin, set us up.
He is here, but yes, he is talking to Nick Eatman. They are airing their list of grievances against you guys, and he'll be back in a minute.
No, I'm here, guys. Yeah, Nick was regaling me with some fantastic camp stories of the past. Is that the right word, Kevin?
Yeah,
there you go. What are you doing, Chop? Trying to confuse me.
Oh, no. I was just excited about the word. I just hadn't heard that word in a while.
Yeah.
Your reaction.
You knew that word.
I heard it on G-Bag to start off, but just recap your press conference reactions. And have you gotten any? Is it still too early there, or can you feel any leftover rumblings and effects from what happened yesterday?
You know, the biggest thing that we noticed this morning is the longstanding Chiefs fan who had their flag draped right outside of Cowboys
Bassick?
Training camp.
Not here.
Is gone.
Bassick is gone. Yes, that is. But he's at home probably.
Bassick is writing me typical Mike training camp messages. Training camp. The Cowboys have a star player in a contract situation heading into camp. That's a new storyline. I wonder if he'll get a new contract 10 days away from the first game. Hopefully the boys have a good walking practice today with loud music, shorts, and weird-looking helmets. Man, do I miss that.
He said the last time I was there, the Rangers traded for Max and Monty, and so that did happen. We won a World Series that year. Hopefully the boys have a good walking practice today with loud rap music. So that's the Mike Bassick, always being Mike Bassick. But yeah, the Chiefs flag is gone, Kevin. That was the first thing we noticed. So, no, I mean, you're kind of starting to already hear. There's the media is, it was an uneasiness yesterday, and I think it was rightfully so on everybody's part. Kevin, I've been telling you all morning, Dak, Micah, Diggs, all those guys that got called out, they haven't won.
Sure.
I mean, so anything that they've done so far hasn't accomplished what they ultimately want to accomplish, so they still have work to do, and if Jerry's calling them out, hey, we've kind of talked about that before. Maybe he should call some people out every once in a while.
I just still don't know how – and I understand that it clearly has been interpreted this way by so many people. I just still don't know how the injury one is a call out. Like the one about, like, well, Dak got hurt right after – like, it literally just seems to me like he's giving proper history context for – This is what you risk.
Yeah,
like, that's how that's felt the whole time.
Well, yeah, you're the only one feeling that, because it comes across to everyone else is that you're saying he's injury prone or he wasn't worth giving him that money, that was a mistake. That's the way I feel like 95% of people have taken it. Am I wrong, Kevin?
I think the proximity of the way he said it did make it feel a little weird. Like, I'm not going against Bobby entirely. I totally get what he's saying. I will not. But
I don't know. Kevin won last
night. Shut up.
I totally get. Okay. I didn't do any of this, Bobby. So
he talks crap about you all the time off air, too.
That is so not true. I totally get the idea, because it was like, hey, you never know. We paid Dak, and then he got hurt. So, like, he might not have meant to do it like that, but it did sound the way he lumped those together.
It was bad examples. Like, a car accident? Like,
why we haven't re-signed Micah. He might get hit by a car.
Okay, to that point, I do want to point, and I said this to you yesterday. If you'd have signed him 2 months ago, and then he got hit by a car last week, would everybody be killing Jerry on, you guys signed a guy that's going to get hit by a car? Yes, they would all be killing him and be like, now Mike is not going to be here. So the Cowboys are like, we'll wait until the right before the game so at least we have him for a quarter or a series. That's their goal.
Then if he gets hit by a car later,
you couldn't do anything about that, but we had
him. Out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascinating.
Corey, I feel like that's the way they think.
Corey, give us the tease for the show before we get to your plain tweet.
Oh, did you hear my tease for our show today?
No.
Oh, I said we'll be live from Oxnard from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. unless we get hit by a car.
Which we did not, so we're okay there because we wouldn't be on air.
That's a good tease.
Thank you. We might have Joe Milton today.
You're going to have to cancel that one.
Did you already have Joe Milton this morning?
No, he's mine.
Go Vols, baby.
We're Tennessee.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
That's mine.
You would have put the dagger early into RJ Choppy's heart.
And I love Chop because, Kevin, yesterday we were discussing, is Tennessee actually one of the most daunting stadiums on the planet? But, no, I just gave them a list. I give them a list of
who'd you give it to? I'll have a talk with them.
Our friend Bront.
Bront needs to know better. He needs to know where we all went to school.
Well, I don't think Bobby's given the list yet, so I'd blame Bobby, too.
Yeah, so that's just, I mean, we just got, by the way.
I'm going to save Cowboys interactions, not ruin them.
We had asked for Dak. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen
this
time.
We're going
to get him. It is Tank Top Tuesday.
Where's your tank top?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh! Play stripper music, babe.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at that tan. Look at them guns. Look at them guns with the white shirt. Oh, yeah, looking good. Looking good.
Look at Carter in the background.
Got to roll some Tank Top Tuesday on a Tuesday out here, no matter what. And I got Carter with me as well.
Put Carter's white arms next to Corey.
Carter has a tank top on, too.
That sounded
Carter has one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carter, hop in there one more time, Carter. Show
Carter,
everybody.
Carter, get behind Corey. Yeah, arm to arm so we can see.
Don't do that.
The color differences and other differences.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Hucklebaity, give the flags.
Sean, I don't know if you want a cut of you saying, let's see the color differences. I don't know if that's necessarily what
I think
you
saying Hucklebaity is worse than that.
Oh, brother.
Well, kind of the same thing, I guess.
Sean, I do want to. I've thought of you whenever we got to our rooms today. Yeah, this might be the best rooms we've had since we've come out to Oxnard.
What?
Wow. Well, we've stayed in squalor before, so.
Golly.
I love my room. I'm overlooking the marina. It's a great view. The room itself, Kevin, I think you and I both agree, We have a step down to like a little suite area.
Oh, wow.
It's cool. The bathroom itself might be the coolest bathroom I've ever had in a hotel.
What?
So, yeah, this is a good stay.
I'm going to need a professional tour.
It's a giant walk-in shower. It's awesome.
Yeah, I hope I'm not overselling it because he's going to get out here and be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Corey said this was great. It sucks.
I'm going to need a confessional video tour for that.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
Little tour. Give us anyone else who would break Bobby's heart. Dak, who would break my heart? Overshown or Ferguson? Hopefully you won't get them.
I did not ask for either of those people.
The one that'll break my heart if somebody else gets it other than us is CD. Because CD's the best interview that you can get.
We've had him before. He's always fantastic. I've always enjoyed talking with him. But I did ask for him. But you know how this is out here. We ask and we try to do everything.
Where you think you have a right to ask for Joe Milton.
He's a Cowboys player. Yeah, we're the Cowboys station. I'm supposed to do things.
He's so far down the list. It's
it's like if we got Cooper Flagg first.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's like it's like imagine if let's not even use Cooper Flagg. Okay, because he's the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if
Shamar Stewart.
No. I'm saying like someone down the roster. Like you said, you wanted your first Max Christie was the first guy, right? And that's the guy that you got the first guy. He's so far down the roster.
Nico asked for him.
So. Yes, right. So I would recommend that you guys don't do that.
Oh,
I'm just gonna say
he already picked this fight with G-Bag. Y'all don't want that.
I would recommend you don't do that.
So you're saying Cowboys walk over here and they say, "Hey, we got Joe for you."
They say so, and he's. I'll just say, I would send a text right now and say, hey, who else do you have?
No, you got to call RJ into the interview. You can't start it until RJ's on the hotline.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
No,
I'm perfectly fine with that.
It's a face-to-face. Let's be fair. I need tickets to the Arkansas game this year.
That's okay. The point of your interview?
No. These guys know me.
Ask Jerry or Steven. We got Arkansas connects.
But it's in Knoxville. These guys know me. I will always. Whore myself out to get something free.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So,
and we got a lot of things to talk about.
All right, Corey.
I'm not sure you understand the concept of whoring.
Mm.
You don't do things for free.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. But you don't know what I'm willing to do.
The pay is the
thing. So instead of money, it's the tickets.
Yeah.
Corey, gotcha. What happened on the plane?
All right. Got on the plane. Great flight. Other than the kid who was sitting next to me.
Best flight ever.
There was a family sitting across two rows. They said, hey, you're the small one. You sit in the middle next to that guy right there. And I was like, oh, crap. Now I got to sit next to a kid. I'm in the window. And this kid sits down. And Choppy has said this. I've heard it multiple times when he's talked about travel. Whoever's sitting in the middle gets their choice of elbow space. And this kid decided he was taking not only his dad's elbow space, but mine too, and was shoving his elbow into my side, playing his stupid Switch, and I wanted to pick that thing up and throw it into the cockpit. The entire time he was just playing games, and I was like, do I just shove this kid into his dad or something? What do I do here? I didn't. I just I watched a show called Bookie on the flight, and I just tried to take my time and calmly go through things.
But where'd you put your arms?
I had to lean up against the window. I had to lean up against the window because also I don't want to be the one that's leaning up on some little kid.
Yeah,
nobody wants to be that guy. 8 years old, something like that.
I thought middle seat gets both.
Middle seat gets both, but they get to decide high-low.
Yeah. I, like an idiot, okay. I have to do, like, arm planks. Like, I put my arm on the seat.
Sean grabs the seat in front.
I keep my arms resting up there until they're burning on my triceps. It's awful. Miserable.
I did that. I was holding on to the seat in front of me because I was like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
What do you suggest here, Choppy?
You're not in the middle. The middle gets the armrest, okay? But as the bigger person, like stature, bigger.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Right. You gotta exercise some muscle. So the moment that kid chose the high armrest, you got to dominate the low.
Okay.
Yeah, dominate.
Or when he gets up to go to the bathroom, you got to reestablish.
You
got to
build a wall, okay? On the armrest, you got to build a wall.
We're in the wrong state for that, man. We're in the wrong state for that.
We should have a choppy minute every day out there when we go out there.
Oh, man.
A choppy cowboy minute. All right, Joe Milton, hopefully.
Maybe.
No.
And everybody else that could be on the morning show list.
I'm going to text Braun, say, hey, man, I would not advise that.
Oh, man.
You better walk Will Greer over there.
Yes.
They walk Will Greer over.
He'll be the backup.
So. That's right. All right. The KNC Masterpiece live from Oxnard. Kicking off our training camp coverage is next.